Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Isaiah chapter 32, verses 14 through 20. The Reverend Robert Zagore is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 32nd chapter. For the palace has been neglected, the population and the city abandoned. Hill and watchtower have become caves, a delight for donkeys, for the pasture of flocks. Until the Spirit is poured out from us on high, then the wilderness will become a fertile field. Then the fertile field is considered a forest. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness will remain in the fertile field. And the work of righteousness will be peace. And the service of righteousness, quietness and confidence forever. Then my people will live in peaceful settlement, in secure dwellings and in an undisturbed resting place. And it will hail when the forest comes down, and the city will be utterly laid low. How blessed will you be who sow beside all waters, who let the ox and the donkey out freely. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. After Pentecost, we go to Isaiah and plop ourselves into the middle of the 32nd chapter, which is like starting to read a book in the middle. Not just the middle of Isaiah, because as many of you know, you can break Isaiah into two or three parts and so on. But here, chapters 28 through 35 are a long section of Hebrew poetry. And if you read those, you can see that even in translation, Isaiah has a poetic flair unlike just about anybody else in the history of the world. If you read Shakespeare in translation, then it's not the same. But somehow or another, the Lord managed to devise Hebrew in such a way that he rhymed thoughts instead of words. And still there's a meter, even in English, to the way that Isaiah writes, which brings out meaning and emphasis if you gather the whole thing together. So it's at least important to start with the thought that you get at the beginning of chapter 32 so that you understand what it is. And that word, that phrase, that's continuing a thought that began in chapter 28 is, the king will reign in righteousness. Which is important because the kings that Isaiah saw were far from that description. Started out his prophecies. In the year that King Uzziah died, Uzziah is the guy who decided that he was going to burst into the temple and make the sacrifices for instead of the priest because he was the king and he got to do whatever he darn well felt like. He got struck with leprosy as the brave priest stood there and begged him not to do it. And he died. In fact, that "and he died" is probably a refrain that we don't pay enough attention to in the Scripture. You go through the generations of humanity that are listed in the Scripture, and what do you see? And he died, and he died, and he died, and he died, and his son reigned in his place. Well, you get that with the kings of Israel and Judah as well. In fact, you can go to the place that I believe Isaiah is talking about today, if you go to Israel and go to the city of David, dig, you'll walk up this abandoned-looking hillside and you'll see that they're starting to do archaeological excavations around what's now been determined to almost certainly be the palace of David and David's home next to the palace and the tombs of the kings of Israel and Judah. Up on a hillside, an upfall, as you say in Hebrew, a high place above the city where they're dead and there is no life. And up until about 1948, it was a home where wild donkeys and jackals and sheep grazed, just like Isaiah said. The kings could not bring righteousness and could not bring peace or comfort. There was no earthly Savior except the one that the Lord would send. No matter how much they hoped their politics or their possessions would save them, they were just a flash in the pan. And they had their own problems, and they were much more interested in their own problems. That's one of the other keys to reading about the kings of Israel and Judah. How many of them were really seriously interested in your salvation? Read all of the accounts and find any of them, even for the most part King David, who was worried about your salvation in the stories in Kings and Chronicles. 2 Samuel. They had all their own problems and they were worried about the affairs of state, but all that would die. But Isaiah makes a promise. This is going to end when the Spirit is poured out on us from on high. Another thing that as we look at the great breadth of Scripture, we tend to overlook. The connection that God continually makes in His own poetry, especially if you take the vast sum of the Holy Writ, you begin to see some things that even are true in our language, just like the poetry of Isaiah. For example, in almost every language known to man, the verb to be is related to an ancient word for breath or spirit. If you go to English, to be goes back to an old Sanskrit thought, which means to breathe or to be moved by a spirit. Same thing with essa in Latin, bite in Slovenian, my neighborhood's native tongue. If you think about it in German, sein actually means to inhale. In Hebrew, it's layib, or as we're used to saying it in the first person nominative, Yahweh. Breath and spirit are always there. You may have heard that in the reading, the Old Testament reading, in your church this past Pentecost Sunday, as you have all the dead of Israel assembled and wholly formed and renewed and standing before Ezekiel and before the Lord in the valley of Jezreel. And there they are where all the dead had been sown for generations. But they're still dead because they have no breath. They have no life. And God tells the prophet, prophesy to the breath, prophesy to the spirit, O man. If you read the breadth of it, you see that life without the Spirit is impossible. But it's so much a part of us that we don't even recognize the work of the Spirit for what it is. We expect Him to be sort of the Superman miracle worker in the midst of things that doesn't really lead us, but more gives us miraculous and wonderful ways to get the jobs done that we've picked out for ourselves. That's what Paul warns us against in 1 Corinthians, where he says, don't go into church and start prophesying in a way that isn't going to do any good. Who's going to be informed by that? Speak a language that people understand. Because that's the way the Spirit works. There is an intimacy of the Holy Spirit with His baptized people who received Him from that gift of baptism. That's so close and so unique that sometimes we even forget His work is as intimate as the drawing of a single breath, and as important. Even when we can't draw our breath due to pneumonia, the doctors have thought, pneumos, spirit, is somehow or another connected. When St. Paul says the Spirit helps us in our weakness and intercedes for us with groans too deep for words, he's together with us, it says. He seizes hold of us, the word lambano, to take, to receive. Sin lambano, together with us. Asthenai, in our weakness, in our inability to breathe, he intercedes for us with stenogabnos, exhalations, groans. Is this the gift that you perceive on Pentecost? Do we look for the magical instead of the truly miraculous that draws us close to Christ and gives us our daily breath together with the Lord, that gives us life that can't be taken from us? Do we expect that the Holy Spirit is instead going to be the fulfiller of our dreams instead of our daily breath? The life and hope and peace, the confidence and comfort of God's own people? What do we believe we're giving our children when we get them baptized? All of the promises of God in salvation, certainly, but what does it mean that we give them the Holy Spirit? Of course, I'm speaking only of human agency. Only the Lord can give His Spirit, and He does that according to His promise. What do we give? We give them a chance at life. We give them a chance at breath. Breath that isn't exhaled for the final time as we die. And without that Spirit, there is no life, which is why we look around in our generation and find that death surrounds us everywhere. Without the Spirit, these are just the rattling groans of a dying age. Our apnea is crazy. And even we tend to look for the Spirit to be something other than He promised. But what has He promised to be? Well, Christ starts out with these promises. If I don't go, then the Spirit can't come. I'm giving you something better than when I was walking with you. The Counselor, who I will send from the Father. Now closer to us than Christ ever could have been in His human nature, walking along next to the disciples, because He would live in them and dwell in them and enliven them and give them breath. You are the receivers of this gift. You don't live from miraculous event to miraculous event. Every inhalation is a sign that the Spirit is with you, a reminder of your baptism and the promises that God has given. Every inhalation should remind us of the gift of which He speaks, of the stunning confidence in which we should live, that God should take heed of such as us. Why should He care for us? Why should He give us such gifts? I have no explanation except thanksgiving that He does. And for you, my friends, who breathe in and breathe out the great gifts of God. In fact, what is speaking His word except to breathe out His thoughts? What is hearing His word except to let that breathed out breath hit your ears? Those who receive the gifts of the Spirit shall live. And the promise of Isaiah will be fulfilled in our lives and forever. In confidence, quietness, and peace shall be their life. And their king shall reign forever and ever. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the congregations of the Northwest District and their pastors, together with all schools, teachers, and church workers. We also pray for Shara and Michael Cunningham, who serve the Lord in Kenya. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.